I would like to read the text for the message this morning, which is from Genesis chapter 32, verses 22 to 32. 32 to 32. Jacob wrestles with God. The same night, he arose and took his two wives, his two female servants, and his 11 children, and crossed the ford of Jacob. He took them and sent them across the stream and everything else that he had. And Jacob was left alone. And the man rested with him until the breaking of the day. When the man saw that he did not prevail against Jacob, he touched his hip socket, and Jacob's hip was put out of joint as he wrestled with him. Then he said, "Let me go, for the day has broken." But Jacob said, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And he said to him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Jacob." Then he said, "Your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have striven with God and with man, and have prevailed." Then Jacob asked him, "Please, tell me your name." But he said, "Why is it you ask my name?" And there he blessed him. So Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, saying, "For I have seen God face to face, and yet my life has been delivered."
The sun rose upon him as he passed Peniel, limping because of his hip. Therefore, to the day the people of Israel do not eat the sinew of the thigh that is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket.
This is the word of God. Amen. Well, please have mercy with me this morning. English is not my first language, and I'm used to preaching the Romanian language more. But this morning I would like to speak to you about Peniel, the face of God, fighting in prayer. This is a text that really spoke to my heart
at the beginning of this year. As I continue my life and God gave me day after day in this year, I come back to this text because I believe it's important for me as a Christian and for each one of us as Christians to understand that we cannot live our life except in a strong connection with God and in a desperate dependency on God, as my friend Michael puts it.
And this is one of those texts in the Bible in which you can see that it's actually a chapter 32nd chapter from Genesis. It's a chapter in which prayer is ever present. The context is that of Jacob turning back from his father-in-law, Laban, and he was coming back into the land of Palestine after 20 years. He came back with wives, with children, and also with a great fortune. He brought a lot of cattle. And turning back, he needs to face some of his
mistakes and sins in the past. The news came to him that his brother Esau is coming toward him, not alone, but with an army, 400 men. So So Jacob was in a very, very problematic situation. He should face his past. He should face his brother, who he was cheated him. He took his first birthright, and now he has nothing else to do than to pray. And he prayed. He prayed before the prayer and this fight with God that we read about. And the prayer was correct, but was not yet the prayer that he should pray. And I believe there are some moments in our lives, and probably the first moment is the moment of salvation, when we really face God and we understand who he is. In the beginning, maybe not very clearly, but we understand that he is a sovereign God. It's a God who is loving, but he's holy, and you can play with him, and you should stay in front of him as you are, trembling and repenting and appealing to his mercy. His mercy, who he showed us completely in the person of Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. But not only. We should stay in front of God in some critical moments of our lives as Christians. And God is bringing us from time to time to such critical moments in our life in which we have to really stay in front of God. And I believe that prayer is actually the place in which we spiritually can stay before God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. So prayer has three essential components, I can say that prayer does three things for us, and I can see those things in this experience that Jacob has with the angel of the Lord in this passage. And the first of one is the prayer makes us recognize the sovereignty of God. In other words, prayer puts things in the right perspective. When you face a crisis, when you face a challenge, or when you face that unrestlessness of heart from time to time, that your life is not as it should be, and you seek after the Lord in prayer, seriously, you should come before the Lord and recognize again and again that he is a sovereign God, and there is no other. Sometimes God can force you to such a moment, like he did with Jacob here. Jacob came back from a foreign land to his land, and he cannot continue his life like it was. He needs to face God, and God really met him there. He remained alone. He did what he could as a man. He got a very intelligent man. He was a cheater. He knew how can manipulate things. He tried again this time, but finally he remained with God alone. And when he was alone with God, a man wrestled with him until the breaking of the day, the Bible says. Well, this man, it's interesting to do a research in the Bible about this man, this idea. And you can find a comment in Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. And there, actually beginning with verse 3, Hosea is talking about Jacob. And we read this. In the womb, He took his brother by the heel, and in his manhood he strove with God. He strove with the angel and prevailed. He wept and sought his favor. He met God at Bethel, and there God spoke with us. Hosea commented later on. Well, this man was the angel of the Lord, and this angel of the Lord actually was the way in which God revealed himself in certain instances in the Old Testament to the men of God, to those who God called them in his sovereignty to be part of his plan to bring salvation for the entire world. So he did with Jacob. But Jacob needs to meet with God face to face, and he needs to stay in front of the Lord and to realize that God is sovereign, and without him he cannot prevail. As I said, he was an intelligent man. He knew how to cheat. He knew how to make his ways in this world. Yeah, he was an expert in this. But was that moment in which he realized that none of those make him prevail? Only God. And we need to realize that continuously in our life. And if we learn to stay before the Lord and seek after the Lord in this way, we'll be spared of much suffering. Otherwise, in his love, because he loves us, as Hebrews 12 is teaching us, he will intervene in our lives. And sometimes it will be very painful, and we will learn this lesson on a hard way. We, as Christians, we need to learn a lesson from the Bible, first of all. Then, prayer. Well, let me finish this. Jacob's problem was not with Esau, actually, nor with his mother who taught him wrong, you know that. But his problem eventually was with God. And none of our problems are with others. Our problem actually is with God. And God wants to deal in our lives then. So that's why I said the second thing is prayer helps us to see our own heart. Actually, it's interesting in this fight that at a certain moment, Jacob clinged to this angel, to this man, although he was severely injured in his hip. And while he was clinging to him, he asked, "I will not let you go unless you bless me." And it's interesting that in that very moment, he was asked, "What is your name?" Why? Why the angel of the Lord put this question, "What is your name?" He obviously knew his name, but it was a very important moment because it was a moment in which Jacob himself needs to stay with his heart open in front of the Lord and to admit that years earlier he was asked the same question by his father, earthly father. And he lied. He lied. So he was a liar, he was a cheater, he was a sinner. And he needs to stay in front of the God with his whole heart in such a way that he will be able to repent. He will be able, actually, to be blessed by the Lord. So, beginning with the small matters of life, like the matters that Jesus addressed in Matthew chapter 6, when he tried to teach his disciples and us to not worry, yeah? And he was mentioning there the things to eat and to clothes to wear and house to live in, and he gave those said, for the Gentiles seek after all these things. And your Heavenly Father knows that you need them, all of them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day its own trouble. So, from the small matters of life, like worrying for normal needs, until the big things in life, like decisions, if you are young and unmarried, to whom you will marry, or if you are young, where to study, or what career to pursue, or if you are called to serve God, to go as a missionary, or to be a pastor, or to serve in another capacity the Lord, or other decisions, important decisions in life, there is no possibility for any one of us to receive the blessing of the Lord unless we are not staying face to face with the Lord. First of all, to recognize His sovereignty, and then to really know our hearts. We cannot repent if we are not knowing our sins. And when we read the Bible, God has this this way of working through His Spirit. Firstly, in a gentle way, whispering to us, calling us before Him. And then He points His finger on our hearts, and He asks our name again and again, and we have to admit who we really are. We are liars, we are cheaters, we are, and you can put all kinds of sins that you did, and defines you as a sinner. In the end, the problem is not the sin, because God dealt with the sin on the cross of Jesus, on the cross of Calvary. The problem is when we are not repenting on our sin, and we are not receiving what He freely gives to us in Jesus Christ. The forgiveness, the redemption, and everything that comes with the sacrifice of Christ. So, there is another step that I would like to make, the third one, and I would like to finish with this one. It's the fact that prayer transforms us into the dream of God. Well, I took this from a little poem that actually C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Letters to Malcolm, chiefly on prayer. And there, he was complaining of the fact that, he was not complaining, he was answering to the accusations that he was hearing around him by the atheists and non-believers, who would say that actually prayer, it's an exercise that maybe have the effect of, a good auto-suggestion to yourself. But it's nothing more than that. I mean, there is no God, you are speaking in vain, and that's it, they say. And he wrote this little poem, and he said this. They tell me, Lord, that when I pray, only one voice is heard, that I'm dreaming. You are not there. This whole thing is absurd. Maybe they are right, Lord. Maybe they are right. Maybe there is only one voice that is heard. But if there is only one voice that is heard, Lord, it's not mine. It's your voice. I'm not dreaming. You are the dreamer, and I am your dream. That's why I said that prayer transforms you in the dream of God. In a sense, that actually through prayer you can understand God's will for your life. Generally speaking, and specifically. amazing what God can do. Because Jacob, after this meeting with the angel of the Lord, he went out from there limping, but he has no, I mean, from that moment, I think Jacob became, from the cheater, you know, he became a patriarch. And you're going to find him becoming a worshiper of the Lord. You'll find him in next chapter, in 33 verse 20, that he built an altar. And this altar, he called El Elohe Israel, God is the real God of Israel. So, you see, after this meeting, after this fight, which I believe was a fight that defines the true engaging prayer of a believer with the Lord, Jacob became what God has in place and in plan for him before the foundations of the world. And I believe each one of us, we can have this kind of experience with the Lord into a moment or another moment or time to time. I believe this will happen many times in our lives. I believe God will bring us through His Spirit in certain moments in which we'll be in a corner, we'll have nowhere else to go but to God. And then we'll be really blessed. And then we will understand what He wants us to do. God wants us to be worshippers. As Westminster Shorter Catechism puts it, you know, to that very question, very first question, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Well, yes. But that happens only when you stay in front of God and you realize that He is everything you need. Nothing else more, nothing else less. He is. And as Archbishop William Temple puts it, you become a worshiper. And worship, he said, is the submission of all our nature to God. It is the quickening of the conscience by His holiness, the nourishment of mind with His truth, the purifying of imagination by His beauty, the opening of the heart to His love, the surrender of will to His purpose, and this gathered up in adoration, the most selfless emotion of which our nature is capable. Meeting with God, staying face to face with God through Jesus Christ, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, is the most important thing that we need, actually. It's the most important thing that we need. And here, we start to really worship God, really start to understand His beauty of His love, but also His beauty of His holiness. And we are drawn to Him, and we start to adore Him, and we follow Him, and God will reveal His plans to us, step by step. My wife and I, we came this time in States in an important moment of our lives. There are some steps that we need to do. We learn over the years to walk with the Lord by faith and do not depend on people. But I need to tell you that this is not a lesson that you learn once and that's it. It's a lesson that you keep learning. And in order to continue our ministry, in order to pursue the plans that God showed us that He has for us, the vision that He gave it for Yash and for Republic Moldova, for this academic ministry and for youth ministry and for other aspects of ministry that we are doing, we need support. We need prayer, and we need people that will come along. We need churches and individuals that will catch the vision and maybe will come themselves in person and help, and or they're going to send their support and money for this ministry. realize that we actually have no means to do this. No means to, not even to ask people. Now, some people, when we share about our ministry, they ask, how much money you need. Sometimes we don't know really, because we don't. But God knows. And I came here with my wife in fear and trembling before you speaking and sharing what you saw. Because we cannot boast those things God did without, not because of us, but because He was faithful and good over the years, and He opened many doors, and He sometimes pushed us to walk through those doors. And I come before you, a church that I don't know you, but God knows you. And God knew that I will be here today. In His sovereignty, in His plan, in His providence. So, my wife and I, we have to learn, and we have to teach our children to depend on God the most. We cannot depend on anyone else. We depend on God, and we trust that He will continue to fulfill His plans. If He is the dreamer, and in His dream we are part of that dream, then means that He will continue to fulfill that dream, that vision, that plan, which is good, because He is good. Thank you very much for your attention and for the time that you take to listen to me this morning. I am greatly honored and humbled by the fact that your eldership gave me this opportunity to speak in front of you, and I treasure this, because I know that it's not easy to do something like that. But in the same time, I will be very happy if you pray for us, and if you continue to maybe ask Michael about that, we will